Welcome to a special episode of Crit Like a Girl. This week, we are releasing another episode of our mini-series, Women's Voices in TTRPG. One of the missions of our group as a whole is to make a welcoming space for everybody, no matter race, gender, sexual orientation, or background. As a first real step towards this goal, we chose to spotlight some amazing female creators on Twitter during Women's History Month. To further expand on that, we decided to share the experiences and advice of other female players and DMs in the community. So, without further ado, here is our next interview.
If you would like to introduce yourself and what you do.
Sure. My name is Scribble. She, her. I do kind of like drawing things for D&D in my personal time. I also work at a gaming store where I DM for our customers. And I'm also playing in a campaign with my long-term friends.
Excellent. Did you play TTRPGs before you started working at the gaming store? Or was that kind of a new thing?
Well, I hadn't been playing D&D for very long when I started. It was mostly kind of board games and card games that were my expertise. It was just kind of gradually when the first kind of lockdowns happened, and after 2019 when our store was closed because we couldn't have groups of people inside, that I kind of learned to play D&D more properly and had the chance to kind of grow my expertise with it. So by the time that we were ready to start accepting people again, I had a bit more knowledge on the subject, and I felt like I could help teach people about it as well.
Did you start playing the personal game you played first, or did you start DMing for the store first?
My personal game came first. That was with myself and a couple of my friends who I've been friends with for quite a while now that I met through playing card games. They invited me into their game after they were talking about it for a while. I think it was a Rise of Tiamat game, and they were talking about it, and I was so excited listening about it. I was like, can I join in too? So they let me jump in, and we've been playing games ever since then, and we're on to our second long-term campaign there.
That's always awesome. Finishing a campaign is wildly one of the best feelings in the world, but also one of the saddest, in my opinion.
It truly is. It really is.
Do you have a preference as to being a DM versus a player?
I do enjoy being a player. I think there's like I used to do a lot of writing, so I used to love writing from characters' perspectives and such. So kind of getting the chance to play out a character story that I've kind of handcrafted is quite good. I do also enjoy the kind of like homebrew and kind of world building aspect of being the DM and exploring stories with other people and having the story shaped and molded by them as well. So I think both sides I quite enjoy, but if I think I had to pick one, I do prefer DMing, I think, as opposed to playing.
And you play singularly in the home game and DM singularly in the, I guess not workspace, but in the store?
Yeah, so our personal game we do online, because even though we kind of all live in roughly the same area, our work schedules never kind of meet up so that we can actually play in person. So we normally keep our game online. And then when I run for the store, I usually do it in-store because we have some nice big D&D gaming tables and whatnot that we've kind of decorated with a bit of kind of stone wallpaper and some portraits from the Dungeons & Dragons official art books and such. So it makes it a nice kind of cozy D&D space that we like to use there.
That's really cool. Do you have a preference, or do you think there's a big difference between how it feels to play online versus how it feels to play in person?
I think there is quite a bit of a difference. I think it just depends on what your setup is on either scenario. I know that when we play with our online game, we don't tend to do webcam. We just usually do voice chat. We'll use Roll20 for our roles and, you know, have our character sheets online while we're doing it. But I like having the physical aspect of it on the in-store game, because, you know, I can see players looking nervous as they roll their dice, or I can see them frantically looking at their abilities and their skill checks and whatnot, and seeing their expressions change whenever I ask them for like some kind of check for something, or like trying to make that roleplay argument with me if they're trying to persuade me of something. It's nice to see it in person. So I kind of think I prefer in-person D&D as opposed to online.
How big is your D&D group? I'm just curious.
So for our personal game that we play, I think there's about 7 of us now. And thankfully for the game that I DM, there's only 3 players, so it's relatively small and more easy to handle.
Yeah, do you prefer bigger groups or smaller ones?
I think I prefer smaller ones just because it's so much easier to organize, and initiative and combat doesn't take maybe 2 or 3 hours. We did have a session where I think 3 hours or something was just combat at one point because there was so many of us and we were having such a bad time trying to kill what we were fighting. I think it was a bunch of trolls, I think, some hag trolls that we were just struggling to fight.
You said your at-home group is all guys except for you.
Yeah.
What's the usual kind of gender ratio or makeup in the store? Do you tend to get a lot of women kind of coming into a gaming store to play, or?
We've had like a kind of recent spike in like the last year or so with more women coming into play. At first it was like kind of mostly guys that were coming in, but after a bit of like chatting with people and kind of introducing them to it and showing them the joys of like character creation and getting to act out the character and go on these kind of like fantasy adventures, I think a lot of women became interested in it, and we have seen a rise in women players in our store, which is really great. I'm really glad about that.
Do you tend to see the women who are kind of newer to playing, do they tend to be more hesitant starting to play, or what's the general vibe you kind of get? Is it just like a new player vibe? How do they kind of mingle into coming into TTRPGs for the first time?
It really comes down to maybe just being a first-time player jitters a little bit, because, you know, they'll maybe not be totally sure about, say, combat or about how the kind of roleplay aspect of it works. But we've got quite a lot of good DMs who are good for, like, breaking the ice and helping them feel comfortable in. Sometimes even I think some people are just a little bit nervous to like roleplay in public, especially in like a public space, so like in a store where other people might like hear bits of conversation. But it's a really good way for them to kind of open up, especially with like kind of how we've set up our tables, so that you don't feel as if like you're shoved away in the back, but you do feel as if you've got like a little bit of privacy to enjoy your game, so they feel a lot more comfortable with it. And they're able to express their characters the way they want and get excited when things go right or when things go wrong.
Yeah, that's awesome. That makes total sense. Do you have any advice for people, women, or just anyone in general who isn't into TTRPGs yet but is kind of thinking about getting into them, especially D&D?
I suppose the kind of, like, you see it referenced so much in like modern media nowadays. Like, I think a lot of younger, well, not younger, but say kind of teenage like kids and that got quite interested in it, I think, because of the show Stranger Things, because they played D&D in the show. And a lot of them were quite interested in being like, oh, I want to do it like they do in the show and try it out. And that's been actually kind of a good way to open up to some people, because we managed to get the kind of Stranger Things D&D pack, where it was like the adventure they played in the game, or rather the adventure they played in the show. And then that opens up to, oh, well, you don't have to do it from the TV show. You can have your own campaign run by someone else with your own characters. And I think that's a good way, just kind of exposing people to D&D through some media. And then that opens the door to being able to talk to them about, well, if you want to try it out, you can try this one shot, or you can try this kind of beginner thing, and slowly kind of build up until they maybe feel comfortable enough to do a whole campaign, maybe.
So you played card games before you ever got into TTRPGs. Did you have a specific perception of D&D or tabletop role-playing games, aside from like board games, before you got into it?
My interest kind of first peaked when we were going to, it was a UK kind of gaming expo, which kind of handled TTRPG, card games, D&D. We were going there because one of the finals for the card game we were playing at the time was hosting it. And if you entered into the tournament, you just got free entry to the expo, which was pretty cool. So we played in the tournament, and then when we were finished, we just got free reign to go about and look at all the tables and stuff and what they were selling and the demos they were displaying. And I got that kind of first glimpse at seeing like all the minis set up on a table and people giving demos of like all these really cool, I think there was a Tiamat one. It was gorgeous, and I do love dragons just outside of Dungeons and Dragons. It's like one of my favorite mythical creatures. So seeing that, and I was like, what's that from? That looks amazing. And they were like, oh, it's from Dungeons and Dragons. It's, you know, a tabletop. And I was like, oh, okay, listening along. So that was like a nice little eye-opener thanks to the card games. And then my friends were like, yeah, but D&D is cool, the tabletop's great, you should try it out, blah blah blah. And then I kind of put that on the back shelf for a bit until they brought it up again like months later, and I was like, oh, I think I want to try that out, I want to, you know, actually put my foot in and give it a go.
That's awesome, especially because you said your first game was a Tiamat game, right?
Yeah, like the Rise of Tiamat. And I made my character who was obsessed with dragons, but then was tasked with having to kill a dragon, and it was a bit of like a character conflict there.
That is a very fun character conflict for a Rise of Tiamat game.
I think quite a few people were really angry at some of the decisions I made because of it.
You know, what's a little role-playing if you don't horribly upset some other characters? Not other players, other characters.
Other characters, there's a difference.
Yeah, very much so. What has been your favorite experiences kind of surrounding D&D and TTRPGs, both like in a game, in a session, whatever, as well as just kind of in the community as a whole?
I think one of the more exciting parts was I've kind of in our kind of current campaign, which our friend DMs, it's his kind of homebrew, so he's not basing it on a module, it's kind of his own story that he's written. And it was really exciting that first time where I finally got to experience something that was related to my character's backstory, because I was like getting like tiny little like hints of it, but nothing like majorly solid. And then the first major breakthrough where I was finally confronted with the results of my character's backstory, and I was like, ah, this is vindication for the trauma that I wrote, and I'm loving it every single minute, and this is fantastic. And oh, I finally get to fight and show off all these epic combos that I've been thinking in my head and visualizing it, and that was kind of really satisfying then. It was, I think it was something to do with my character's missing daughter, and she finally discovered where she was after all this time. And I was like, ah, now I know, but I don't really know, because I hadn't actually found her yet. But there was that for as a player experience. And then I think just in the wider community, it was for the group that I DM in the store, I wanted to do something nice for them for Christmas that just passed. So what I'd done is I'd drawn character portraits of all their player characters, and I gave them to them as their Christmas present for their kind of session before Christmas. They were so chuffed with it and so excited. And then literally the next week before, I think it was actually Christmas Eve was the last day before the store shut for Christmas, and they came up to me and gave me a Christmas present in return and say, thank you so much for DMing, we're really excited to keep playing in the new year. And I nearly shed a little tear in my eye because it was a nice present. They'd drawn a little portrait of me as the DM looking all ominous and stuff in a black cloak and stuff and things. So I was like, oh, that's so nice. It was really nice to feel appreciated.
That's so sweet. Thank you so much for validating. Just the sentence, it was nice to have my character's trauma vindicated.
I was, you know, you don't go out of your way to like give yourself trauma, but when you write that deep story and you're like, if this doesn't get used in some fashion, I'm going to be disappointed. And then when it finally is used, I'm like, yes, I am hurting so much inside and it feels good.
Yeah, that is both me as a player and as a DM. There have definitely... And I have accidentally spread that to the Crit Like a Girl crew. Something happened that has not been on the podcast yet. And I was like, hey, I need you guys to like pick something and then DM it to me so I know. And every one of them went so much harder than they needed to. And I love every one of them for it.
No, I joked with my players in my campaign. One of them gave me a backstory where he was like, yeah, I don't have any family, I don't have any parents, not for traumatic reasons, I just don't care. And I went, cool, I'm going to give you some form of trauma because you've not given me anything to work with, but I'm going to give you family issues some way or another because I want to make sure that you have some tie to the world and the story. And if you're just a total blank slate, then it's like, well, I need to work with that, clearly. I need to give you something to care about.
Yeah, that's actually interesting. So playing in a, like, in a store setting where you have people coming into it for the first time, how do you encourage people to, like, write their backstories and stuff?
I think for that campaign that we're still running the now, I did like a sort of like a pre-session zero where I kind of invited the guys in that we're playing to kind of discuss character ideas, because this one is kind of a homebrew setting that I've been writing for like a fair few months now. I think it was like 6 months I've been writing it, kind of fleshing out the world and everything. And I basically had drawn a little map in my, you know, my little sketchy style, and I went, here's the layout of the campaign, here's some ideas, like inspiration for the settings, like this is the kind of war country, this is the very glamorous country, giving them ideas of like where they wanted their character to come from, like their reasons for adventuring, like kind of flesh out that way and see what kind of goals they wanted for their character, and then so I could incorporate that into my story and be like, okay, cool, this is how your character is connected to this world and this is how you're going to progress, and here's a couple of maybe plot hooks that you're maybe looking out for. And so I kind of did that before we did like a proper session zero with them all together, just kind of met them individually and we kind of hashed that out together.
Yeah, that's awesome. I was curious about that because I've never played in kind of a store setting where I was I started to say where I've played with strangers. I've absolutely played with strangers, but specifically online.
I mean, it was very helpful because most of my other members of staff are also playing D&D. So like whenever they would come over with our cups of tea or our coffees when we ordered it, they'd like chip in and be like, oh, you might know what might be a good idea for this and, you know, blah, blah, blah for different things. So it was good to have like more opinions from people in regards to like ideas for characters and backstories and stuff. So it was really helpful that way because they could get it from another DM's perspective to see whether or not they wanted to go with the idea or not.
Are you the only female DM in your store, or are there other ones as well?
I'm currently the only female DM staff-wise. I think we've had a couple of female players say they're maybe interested in DMing in the future. They just want to kind of build their confidence up a bit more before they try it. I think it's got a couple of our players. The manager of our store, the owner as well, she's actually a lovely lady, and she opened the store, you know, to welcome people of all walks into like the kind of geeky gaming world and kind of teach people how to play D&D and card games and stuff like that, kind of like welcome everyone. So I think between the two of us, we give off a kind of good welcoming vibe, as do the other members of staff, of course, to introduce people to the lovely world of D&D.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that was all of the questions I have, though, of course, please, if you would like to talk about, you talked a little bit about what you do in terms of art and stuff, but if there's anything you would like to plug, please do.
My main Twitter that you guys shared so lovingly last time on your Twitter account, that's usually where I post like my main stuff, where I'm mainly just ranting about things that happened in our D&D sessions, or I'm tweeting about axolotls because I'm so obsessed with them. I'll also usually retweet my artwork that I draw from my art account just to kind of spread the love a little bit. And I've been recently making TikToks about some of the things that happen in our sessions, which end up being quite amusing and very odd. So that's the kind of stuff I usually do. And, you know, if you ever check out our store TikTok, then I'm usually the one that makes the TikToks for that account as well. So for, like, my art account on Twitter, it's, this is going to sound really weird out loud, it's Scrub Sketch Art without any of the vowels in the Scrub Sketch part, because okay, Twitter didn't like the very long name. And for my TikTok account is at Scrub Sketch Cause, because when I made it, I was cosplaying and such. And for our store page, which if you want to see a lot of the geeky stuff that we get in and all the events that we're running, that one is Geek Retreat Motherwell, if you want to see us get up to shenanigans and see what stuff we're selling in our store.
Yeah, that's awesome. Thank you so much for coming on and answering questions, and thank you so much. It was awesome talking to you, awesome getting to know you and to hear more about that.
Thank you so much. I can't wait to hear from everyone else from the podcast.
Thanks for listening to Crit Like a Girl. Cover art by Chester Cat. Opening and closing music by Brian Dockery. Background music from Freesound, Incompetech, and Tabletop Audio. Follow us on Twitter at CritLikeAGirl. That's girl without the I. Don't forget to check out our Ko-Fi where you can support the show and your favorite adventurers. If you have any questions, suggestions, or recommendations, email us at CritLikeAGirlPod@gmail.com.